Good to see those out here this morning. And hope that we can maybe get some understanding and things in which that we will need in our daily lives. And as I was thinking along on this lesson, and of course, if we place a title on it, and of course this is one that was given to me, benefits that Christians have, and things in which that are in their lives in which that we live here. And there's many, many benefits that Christians have over the world. And sometimes possibly we don't really stop and think about that very much, because as a Christian, we just continue on through life and maybe never think about some of those things that we have and others don't. And for instance, when we think about as being a Christian, we realize that we have someone that we can talk to about any kind of problem that we may have. Now, it is true that even being Christians, that we may have good friends, good brothers and sisters, but yet at the same time, we don't feel comfortable in talking to them about our problems. But as a Christian, we can go to God and we can talk with Him about anything. But yet again, as a Christian, we realize that our sins have been forgiven and that we won't be lost when judgment day comes. But again, as Christians, we've realized that we've got the greatest fellowship that could ever be, because we have fellowship with heaven, and the world doesn't have that. And what I mean by heaven is the Godhead or the Godhood. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And also, we are in a way in which that we can be pleasing to the angels of heaven. But I want to think about some other things in which that we can talk about. And I want us to think, and possibly we may be reading quite a bit, but in the book of John chapter 6, we find here that Jesus, as He has been able to come back into a view of those in which that He had earlier had contact with. But just before I go to that, I want us to think about, particularly looking in verse 21, because here it says they willingly received Him into the ship. Now, this was the time in which that they were out on the waters, and they were getting afraid for their lives, and the winds began to really come up. And I've never been on a sea in a ship. I don't know what it's like. But some tell me that you can really get to moving about sometime. Now, I have been out on little small boats, and when the motor boat comes by and it hits that, and it just starts really giving it to it. But it says that they willingly received Him into the ship. And then it says, if you notice the next phrase, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Jesus has control over nature. And here we find that it tells us that immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Now, if we would use figurative language, we can realize that so many times in our lives that there's great storms that come. And sometimes it is within our minds, we are just tossed to and fro, don't know which way to go. Because we are not centered upon really what is important. And that's a trust in the Lord. But you know, as a Christian, our souls can be brought to safety when we put our trust completely in God. Just as the ship was taken to its destination safely, so our souls can reach the destination safely if we have trust in God. But the day following, in verse 22, it tells us when the people which stood on the other side of the sea, and your Jesus and his disciples have went to the other side by ship. And when Jesus comes to the other side, or when the disciples come to the other side, they see only the one boat. But Jesus is not there. And so they decide to go looking for Jesus. If you go down in verse 24. And then when they found him on the other side of the sea, they began to question, "Rabbi, when camest thou thither?" Or hither. I get that right. Now, the thing about it is that here's a situation in which that Jesus had opportunity to feed some of these people. And now they were looking for him. Now, how many times in your life have you looked for the Lord? Have you sought for Jesus? In order to find him, maybe at that precise moment, to rescue you from something. Ain't this the way that a lot of times it is when you see people sometimes in their sickness or maybe in the hospitals, and then they find right then, and maybe they've never attended services in all their life, and then they begin to say, "Lord, have mercy on me." Not really wanting to actually obey what the Lord requires, but they want help for the present time, right then and there. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to help us through difficult time, because that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we are as Christians know that we can do. John teaches that in 1 John 5, that we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we know, and this is one of the great benefits of being a Christian, knowing that we can go to the Lord anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a church's building. It don't have to be there. You could be out fox hunting or coon hunting or fishing or whatever, and you can talk with the Lord right then and there, and it won't disturb the fish. But But we realize and know that we have this great privilege, and most everything in life that we look for the benefits, do we not? When you buy insurance, you want to know what kind of benefits that it has. When you go to a new job, you want to know what kind of benefits that they carry. And so it's within us to inquire and want to know. But how many times have you had people come up to you and say, what kind of benefits do you have as a Christian? Not too often, is it? But you know, in order to sell your product, you got to know something about it. And you notice when these people come to your home and want to sell you a vacuum cleaner. Now they know about that vacuum cleaner. They know what it can do. And they know how to do it. They'll spread that dirt on your carpet, on your floor. Because they know that that vacuum cleaner can pick it up and will pick it up. They know the product. And so as a Christian, we should know what we're trying to sell others. The benefits that's involved and that can be for those who are Christians. So these people were willing now, and they were looking for Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. And someone said, well, that's good. Well, why were they? In verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but he says, this is the reason why you seek me, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. This is why that you're seeking me. It's not for the right reason. And if you look at this verse, this is what so many people that is of the world expect the church to be, right? They want the church to be the people that's willing to always give a handout. And a lot of times you see these people, they'll get their hand out and they never come back anymore. Now, we've seen that even here. When people sometime will come and inquire and want something. Now, there's nothing wrong for us as individuals to let those people have that. But how many times have you seen those people that you have given to never return? How many times? Quite often, ain't it? Quite often. Now, that's not our bad. That's their bad. That's on them. Because as Christians, and I'm talking about individuals, we can do that. We can do those things. We're obligated to help those who are in need. But yet, there was people in which that was looking for Jesus, not willing and not for what he had done, the miracles in which that he had performed, but they had eaten and they were filled. They were looking for their stomachs to be fed. The temporal things of life, the physical things of life, that's what they were really wanting. But Jesus goes on to say, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Now Jesus is not telling you don't work. That's not what he's saying. Somebody look at that one. Now Jesus said for me not to work. That's not what he's saying at all. But what is Jesus trying to get over to us? I believe he's trying to get over to us, make sure that God has priority. Put God first in your life. Everything else will take care of itself. And here we find that Jesus is saying to these individuals, you put God first. You let the physical things of life be second. God's first. Then they begin to say unto him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What can we do that we might work the works of God? Now Jesus goes on to tell him, he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom we have sent. So to deny any kind of work in becoming a Christian, you're going to have to deny faith and die an infidel. But we know that doesn't work. Faith is a work. And it takes a work. It takes a work of the mind to really, truly trust in the Lord. In some things in our lives, we really have to really push ourselves in order to believe the outcome in which that the Lord has for it. We may not want to receive it. We may not want to know it. Then they wanted to see a sign. Notice in verse 31, he says, our fathers, this is what they were telling Jesus. Our fathers, he said, John does, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are, or in the desert, as it is written, he giveth them bread from heaven to eat. Now notice, here he says, our fathers, they ate manna in the desert or in the wilderness. And he says that the Father gave them bread from heaven. You're again showing some of the benefits in which that God has for his people. I will take care of you. I will take care of you. Our earthly families may throw us out, may not have anything to do with us. Our kinfolk may not even recognize us when they see us because they don't want to. But remember one thing, God will take care of us. His children in the wilderness, and we hopefully look at it after a while, but we find here that God was willing. He got upset a lot of times. He got angry. He was going to wipe them off in the earth. He got angry with them. Now we get angry a lot of times, don't we, with people doing things which they shouldn't. We get angry with it. But we don't stop loving them, do we? At least we're not supposed to as Christians. Because as Christians, we must love. We can't choose who we can love and who not to love. We must love every person. We must. Doesn't mean we love what they do. But we must love that person. Because why? We have God to show us what love is all about. Jesus manifested God's love. And those people who spit upon him who placed the crown of thorns on his head, he still loved him. And sometimes in our minds we say, I can never love a person like that. Bad way to feel if you're a Christian. And the joy of love. Most probably, if not everyone in here, has experienced the joy of love in different ways. Love is so valuable. It's so precious. And if we have a love for God the way that we ought to, if we have a love for Jesus in the way that we ought to, if we have a love for the Holy Spirit in the way that we ought to, we will do the will of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John said in 1 John 5, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And so we look at this, we find that these people, he says, to them that God gave bread from heaven. And then in verse 32, it's fine that Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then in verse 34 it says that, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us of this bread. Now you would think right here that they would be willing and want what God has to say. Right? Because here they were saying, evermore give us of this bread. But when Jesus had pointed out, I'm the bread of life. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I'm the bread of life. You know, the sad thing is sometimes we may want the Lord, but yet when we do get what the Lord has to say about something, then we don't want him no more. Now, it is true that a lot of time we may not understand everything that God has in store. We may not understand all of those things. And I do believe that that's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, that there was a need. If you go down in chapter 1, about verse 14, somewhere in that area, Paul said, you're concerning this. He said, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love to all the saints, I ceased not to pray for you, that you may increase in the wisdom and knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his glory. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Have you ever pondered within yourself about certain things in which that we find or read in the Bible? And maybe, you know, we may go on, we may ponder that for several years. Because we just wrestle with it and we just don't come to what we consider to be a comfortable answer. And so one day, just all of a sudden, we run into someone. It's a child of God. And they explain that or tell us of that. They enlighten us with that answer. But have you ever been one in which that when the answer came, just like we find in Matthew 19, the rich young ruler, when Jesus had given him the answer, had enlightened him upon what he should do, he went away sorrowful. Have we ever done that? Or have we willingly received him like they did into the ship? Jesus tells them that he is. He says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us of this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Think about it, a promise that he's made. Those who come to me will never hunger. Those who come to me will never thirst. What Jesus is saying to us, that he is able to give us everything that we need to keep us from being hungry. Everything that we need to keep us from getting thirsty. Well, someone said, "Well, wait just a minute. Jesus says, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled." He did say that, didn't he? Happier those who hunger and thirst. But the fact is that if we are willing to accept the Lord, we can be filled. There has to be that desire there. The desire must be there. And Jesus points out here that the promise is those who put their trust in me, in the bread of life, they'll never hunger. In other words, you'll never starve if you've got the Lord in your life. Now, if I would say, for instance, to one of you, "You'll never hunger," does that mean that you'll never get to the point where you want food? No. But you'll never be without it. You'll never be without it. It'll always be there for you. And the thing about it is that whatever comes in our life, we can realize and know that the Lord will be there for us. He'll be there for us. It don't make no difference what it is. The Lord will be there for us. Now, there's not too many people that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, "Hey, I want you," and it'd be down sub-zero degree, "I want you to hurry up and get over to the house, and it's about 20 miles or 30 miles away. I want you to come over there just as fast as you can. I don't even want you to take time to put your shoes on. Just come here." How many of us would do that? But you know, the Lord is always willing and ready and will come to our rescue when we call for him. He'll be there. Just as he was with these. Verse 38, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." But if you really want the benefits of a Christian, you're going to have to realize that it's not your will going to get it done. It's the Lord's will, because that's how he got his mission here on earth accomplished, by doing the will of God. I'm almost sure that you believe in the Lord, or you wouldn't be here. But how much do you believe in? How much do you trust him? Hopefully, maybe next time we'll talk about it a little bit more. But how much? Are you willing to trust him with your life? Brighten up the life that you live. Sometimes it may get so bright you can't even see. But yet, at the same time, when we come to know what God wants for us, we can overcome. Be baptized into Christ while together we stand and we sing.